Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Fucked. The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
You just turned into a child on Christmas.
I know. It's like
you
when
were
anyone
so excited.
Presses record or points a camera at me, I'm like, da 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 da.
I know you am. 15 minutes ago, you're yawning, falling over.
And I just had coffee.
Nah, 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 nah.
Here I am. Look at me. Yay.
That's funny.
How you is?
I'm great. I just had my lock cut off my locker at the gym because I'm so distracted by life.
And you don't even smoke weed.
Or Instagram. One or the other.
I want you to smoke weed for Christmas.
That's every holiday you bring that up. No, I'm great. It's been a great week. I heard I had a great time at my birthday party.
Good.
That's what I heard.
Cool. Yeah, you had a good time.
That's what people are telling me.
You are so sweet and vulnerable and a delight when you're drunk.
Oh, I'm vulnerable?
Yeah, in a way that's a very nice. Mm-hmm. It's not embarrassing at all, but you're very sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's good to hear.
You're not a sweet person, but when you're drunk, you're just like,
I mean,
you're very sweet.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, my old boss, his girlfriend did say, and I quote, Corinne, you are a charming drunk.
And charming. Yeah. Mm. You're charming in real life, too, but it's a different charming.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Heard I had a great time.
I don't remember.
I blacked out at 1, but the party kept going until 4:30.
Have this phenomenon that you can black out. But be fully conscious and complimenting motherfuckers.
This is great. I know.
And like, you look so beautiful. You're so funny. Oh my God. I just respect you as a comedian. And you say all these nice things to people. But
this
do you
great.
Mean them? You think you mean them, right?
No. This is the thing about me. And so everyone, people who don't black out or have never blacked out, think of it as a really scary thing. And it certainly can be. I'm not like saying like, oh, just black out, whatever.
Black out, kids.
Number one, we have the kind of, we cheat because we live in New York City. So it's a lot, it's kind of like people think of it as more dangerous. It's a pretty safe city to black out in when you're surrounded by friends.
Yeah, and cabs.
Yeah. Friends and cabs. I mean, I'm not going to bars. I mean, I was at my birthday party. I was surrounded by 50 plus people that
a lot of people.
I knew.
Corinne's very popular. I didn't know that until this party. You were so popular. I was like, good for you.
I really wish I remembered any of this.
Well, let me tell you, it was fun.
I think the last thing I remember is like telling Chrissy Mayer how great she is.
Oh, that's good. That's so
I was
sweet.
There were certain people that I was like super excited to see.
Jeffrey.
Oh, God.
Jeffrey Gurian.
Jeffrey Gurian is amazing. That was a shout out to Jeffrey Gurian. No, but so people who don't black out think it's super scary.
I'm one of those people. Because I think of like lying dead in a puddle of my own piss, waiting for someone to just rape
well,
me.
But you said you've never actually blacked out,
no,
right?
No, but that's what I imagine it to be.
Okay. So blacking out, the first time it happened to me, it was very scary. And I immediately did what I do for everything, which is researched it. So I read a lot online about it. And basically, blacking out is something that's not reversible. Once you black out once you hit a certain point, you will always black out. Blackout.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
In your life?
Yeah.
So your tolerance level will black out.
Yes. So think of it as like it's a switch in your head, and once it is flicked, it cannot be reversed. Yeah.
So
I thought that was a really good way to explain it. It kind of sucks.
Did you drink that much?
No, I really didn't, but it's like, number one, it has to do with what I drink. Like beer, I'll never black out on.
Right.
But also,
because it's filling too.
I don't want to be fat. Vodka is a little less blackout. I was drinking whiskey because it was my birthday and that's my favorite. But whiskey's a huge blackout drink for me. And also shots. Shots are a big blackout trigger. And on your birthday, people just buy you shots. And I can't. I have that party vibe. I can't be like, I can't say no. And there are two types of blackouts. There's blackouts when you forget pieces of the night and it's like a switch turning on and off, and then there's a blackout that's from this point on I don't remember anything. That's the kind of blackout I have,
right?
Which is the worst because you just don't remember anything.
But luckily you're not an asshole.
Yeah,
at
well
all.
No.
Some people are assholes.
Oh, some people are angry, some people are
and scary.
I'm fun, and the thing is I've never done anything that I wouldn't do sober drunk.
Yeah,
that's like really like that. The only time I've done something I wouldn't do sober is when I was roofied, which I was roofied once.
That's a bummer.
Several years ago at my birthday party where bad things happen. But that person has since committed suicide. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You've told me that on the podcast before and I had the same reaction.
Yeah, he was troubled, you know.
Well, no shit.
Yeah. No, I'm not happy. But it's like, I can't
that
be mad.
That sounds like a country song. I roofied this girl and then I killed myself and then everything
I just can't
sucks.
Be mad about that, you know. There's just no possible way for me to be angry about that.
About that, the roofie?
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, whatever. He like, and it's not like he like had sex with me. So, you know, it's fine. Everything's fine. Different. Yeah, no.
Was
I
he
mean,
like, hey, girl, have some fun.
I almost still wouldn't have been mad. Like, if the ultimate move is you killing yourself, okay. Use my body as a pawn. Is that too much?
Yeah, wait, I'm confused. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
If my body is a vessel for your death.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I just can't be mad.
Yeah, I mean, he's, yeah.
I just can't I be know. Mad. Yeah, no, but that's my feelings about like blacking out. But I heard I had a great time.
You had a great time.
I was.
And you don't remember late night.
It was fun waking up to a visual of, you know, condoms.
Used or unused?
Two used, one unused.
It was just great. Smell them. Well, you could tell.
No, yeah, it was just wonderful.
That reminds me of that song. There's this hip hop song. This girl's like, something's going on. Let me smell your dick.
Oh my god, that's my brother's favorite song.
Oh, that's one of my favorite songs.
I mean, he played it in the car for my mom and I, and he was like, guys, I have this song. And you need to hear it. And when he put that on, I was like, this is kind of the best thing I've
ever
heard.
And also, great tactic, girl.
I've never thought of that.
That's so true. Smell the dick.
Have you done that?
No. But I never thought, I mean, I've been cheated on.
Well, the thing is, dicks have a very dicky smell. Like, it's very specific.
It smells like balls.
Dick smells like dick.
Dick smells like dick, y'all. But if it's been in a condom, obviously it smells like rubber. If
right.
It's been in a vagina, it smells like pussy.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, the times that I've been cheated on, I've never, like, let me smell your dick. I'm always like, let me go through your phone.
Well,
it's easier,
I hope,
and you're in the bathroom.
Yeah,
so.
And I hope he didn't, like, just come from her vagina to your apartment.
Maybe. Because would a guy wash his dick after he cheats on somebody?
I think most people would wash their dick.
Hopefully. Well, like after cheating.
I've never had sex and not showered before the next time I had sex.
Yeah.
And with a different person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say that, not me.
Yeah, no. With the same person.
When you live with someone, you stop giving a shit.
Oh, no, that's fine. But no, I've never not showered in between two different people.
Yeah, wash that slut-shaming filth off.
Well, it's just, it's more of a courtesy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't give a dinner guest a used fork.
Also, there's nothing better than going in the sack with someone and you're shaven and clean and you just like, no worries down there.
Yeah.
You do what you need to do.
You just feel sexy.
And I'll sit back and relax and look at my watch when it's time.
Isn't that a scene in One Fine Day or something? Yeah, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Nest. I thought that's what you were going to say. I'm like,
no, I think it's One Fine Day where she's like, they're making out, and then like she's like, can I feel like not a gross mommy? And then she goes and shaves, and then like it's like George Clooney's asleep or whoever the fuck's in that movie.
Wait, so she wants to not feel gross, so she goes
like they were making out, but she was like a mom, and she like had
and
all
moms
mom
aren't
stuff.
Sexy.
No, she had like been taking care of the kid, and she didn't feel sexy, and she wanted to like shave her legs and like take a shower, but like the moment had passed.
Right. Oh, good for her.
They still fell in love. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Good, because I don't really think a guy's not going to not fuck you if you got a little stubble.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. This is another thing I've been thinking about lately. And there was someone posted like a meme about how like relationships have kind of changed. And we were talking about
was
this yesterday, actually.
Heartfelt?
On our
love
on
a good heartfelt meme.
Our,
you know,
on our big radio show.
You ever listen to a radio show, guys, and you just hear, hey, what's up, I'm Brandon, ooh, ooh, ooh. And you're just like, wow, you're serious. It's awesome. They were amazing. I had a lot of fun.
Oh my god. Well, so they were talking about like how kind of it's like casual dating is much more of a thing now, and it's true. If one more fucking dude asks me if I want to hang out, I'm going to murder somebody.
What do you want to do with the dude?
I'm sorry, like it's like, let me know. It's either this is how I want it prefaced from now. Do you want to A, fuck, B, go on a date, C, fall madly in love? Those are the three.
Or D, go to a bar and see what happens?
No, I don't want to hang out, though. I hang out with my friends. Like, if you are quote, hanging out with someone with the intention for it to be romantic, you're going on a date and just have the balls to say, do you want to go on a date? Do you want to go out Saturday
men don't
night?
Go on dates. Men go on hangs.
It's so
with
annoying.
Beer and wrestling.
It's so annoying. Yeah. Because it just leaves everyone just so confused.
Cut, you know, because the thing is, cut the fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be offended. If I don't want to do it, I'll say no.
Because I'm cool with someone texting me and be like, yo, you want to fuck? And then I just, at least I just, all I care about is like, let me know
where
I stand.
Not a lot of girls are though, probably. Because you're like, that's not nice. You need to know me better. In which case,
oh god, there, say that. Nothing annoys me than fake trying to get to know me. If you want to just want to fuck me, do not like demean me by bringing me to dinner. Like, yeah. I find it very demeaning. Yeah,
I get. Yeah, yeah, because I think that's what they
like.
Have
they're
to
trying
do.
To be nice, everyone but they're thinks, just patronizing.
Yeah,
you.
Everyone thinks that that's what they have to do in order to be courteous.
Yeah,
but really, just
we're
skip the
both
bullshit.
Busy people. I don't need to fucking go out to dinner
the
with
French
you.
French just go right into bed and then they date.
Yeah,
that's how they do that.
I'll eat a hot pocket and then we'll fuck.
I told my mom about the podcast.
Yes, you did. That was a big.
I did. I told her everything except the title because I knew she wasn't gonna like that. But I said it was the anti-slut shaming. I said, we have this podcast and the tagline for our podcast is the anti-slut shaming podcast. And she was like, what? Slut shaming? And I explained it to her. And I was like, that's so cute that you don't know. Oh my God,
I love
you.
It's a new thing.
It's
yeah.
a newer thing. But she knew exactly what I was talking about when I told it to her. I just didn't have a
well,
label.
Yeah,
she was
what
younger.
It is not new, just the title.
And my mom is like the nicest, sweetest, most gentle, adorable, sweetest soul on the planet. And she, when she was like 13, she looked like a supermodel. She was right. over 6 feet tall, thin, blue eyes, blonde hair, like too good looking for a young teenager. And she kind of hinted at me a while ago when I was younger, like, just watch out, Christina. I used to babysit for this family when I was 14 and the dad was not nice to me. And I kind of took that as, okay, someone touched you and that sucks.
Right.
And she's just so sweet and... Ugh. Anyway, so I told her and she started crying and she was like, I feel so bad because when you told me you first had sex and we kind of went back to that moment of we were at a restaurant. I was 15 or 16. I think it was 15. And I told her or I didn't. She asked me and I didn't lie.
Right.
And she walked out of the restaurant. But it was really sweet because she started crying because she felt bad that was her reaction.
Right.
And I get it and I'm passing. It's fine. But we kind of had a laugh because like my grandmother, who was a stroke victim, was with us. And she was like taking out her teeth and licking them as I was crying and my mom was crying. She just left.
And your grandma had no idea what was going on.
My grandma had no idea. She was like, where's my pie? And I'm like, Grandma, just shut the fuck up for a second.
And, hey, G-Ma, can you do me a favor? Can you shut the fuck up?
Yo, G-Ma, you shut the fuck up real quick. Thank you. Told my mom just lost my virginity. She's super pissed. And then my brother's one girlfriend from his high school girlfriend that he dated for like 10 or 12 years was also there. And it was just the most awkward.
Why would your mom ask you if you had fucked someone in front of that showing?
We were talking about a situation where one of her, a person that she knew's daughter was kind of being promiscuous in New York City.
Oh, the town bicycle.
Town bicycle. Something like that. And she turns to me and she goes, you haven't done that yet, have you, Christina? And I was like, okay. The thing with that is that, and she's like, no. And I was like,
never.
Yeah. And then she didn't talk to me for a while. But she felt so bad. But she felt bad and we had like a hey, I'm sorry about that again thing, which was really sweet.
Right.
And made me feel good, even though it was a while ago that happened. And we also had a good laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very healing. I'm so glad I told her. She's really proud of the podcast and
yeah.
and all of the progress that it's made. Like,
because it's just weighing on you at a certain point.
Exactly.
Like as time goes on.
And I'm to the point where I was so excited to tell her about it because it's just turned into this really big thing that's mm-hmm. so it means a lot to a lot of people. And, you know, I told her I talked about depression. A lot of people wrote us in about their experiences. I read her some of the emails and she cried. She was just in good tears.
Right.
So it was good. It was really, really, really good. I haven't told my dad yet.
Right.
But he's not going to care. I mean, he's going to go, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm not going to listen to it.
Yeah.
But I would tell him. Like, I'm not scared to tell him at all.
Yeah, actually. My dad doesn't know either. But it's just like, it's not even, it's just like a... Does it? I mean, I don't. I'll tell anyone anything. But the problem is, it's like I don't. I almost don't want to take the years off his life.
Right, right, right.
He's a fragile man.
Okay, yeah. My dad is not.
You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. My dad is 6'6". He's, you know.
Your dad's tall. My dad's wide.
I don't know what the weather's like up there. It's,
your
you know.
Your dad is so tall.
My dad is very tall.
I want to get to know your dad better. I feel like your dad's really cool.
Everyone's a big fan
of my
dad.
I like your mom a lot. I feel mm-hmm. like your dad's really awesome too, but I've never.
They're very interesting people.
He loved me when I came over, I think.
He
I'm,
what?
When I met yeah. him and I saw your room and it was like this 90s like tribute right. room.
That's what my room is actually a 90s museum.
You need
tribute
to make
museum.
A fucking movie in your room. It's just the whole thing is in your room. Because well, you I can have. Film it
it's called
every
Dawson's
inch.
Creek the Musical oh and or the Blair fucking Witch Project. Those were two hits that I made. That we used
too
to make...
Young.
Well, I mean, no. The Blair Witch Project is and the Blair fucking Witch Project are two different pieces.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Blair fucking Witch Project is me is starring
Witch,
me, Paula, my friend Tracy. It's a different piece.
Okay. All right.
I think it might be better
than
the
original. I do want to see it.
I think it might be better than the original. It's pretty good. We tried to do that Psycho thing where they remake it like frame by frame.
Oh, that's very sweet.
It's pretty good.
It's ambitious too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I want to read an email that we probably only have time for one. So this one, we got a lot of good emails. Guys, email us whenever we read every single email and we eventually will get to back to responding to every single email. One day.
Don't
we're
make
gonna
promises.
Respond to all of them.
Don't make promises
one day,
you can't keep.
When I'm retired.
Well, I think sometimes it's just good to write the email, get it out of your system, know that someone else got
and
it.
Know that we read it
in
and
their
reacted,
system.
At least emotionally in our heads.
And then we send out vibes to you.
So yeah, our email's sorry
it's like
about
post secret.
Yeah. Sorry about last night show at gmail.com. So this the subject line of this email is discovering you aren't straight. Hey ladies, love your show and listen to it as soon as you tweet it. I wanted to respond to the discussion on how when someone who is heterosexual in a heterosexual relationship and it comes out that he or she is actually gay. I'm not gay, but I have come to the realization that I am bisexual. I had done a lot of things before I got married with another man, but growing up Irish Catholic, I just put it out of my mind and tried to forget about it. When my wife caught me watching gay porn, I decided that I wouldn't lie to myself or anyone else, and I finally admitted to myself that I like both men and women. This has caused quite a bit of turmoil in my relationship and things aren't fixed, but I feel better about myself that I have now admitted the truth. It is very hard to come to these terms, especially when you're in a relationship with someone you care about. I still love my wife, but she doesn't believe that I am not gay. This is the hardest part of being bi and the main reason why I never wanted to ever say anything. I've stayed faithful to her in the 9 years that we've been married, but that doesn't seem to matter at this point. It sucks for my relationship, but feels like the world has been lifted off my shoulders to finally admit this to myself after 15 plus years of lying. I didn't have a question. I just wanted to share with you the mentality that people have when in a relationship and come to terms with not being straight. Love your show. Keep kicking ass. I feel like I've met a lot of bi women in my life, like in my lifetime, I've met a lot of bi women.
Right.
And I've met a few bi men, but I feel like the conversations that I've had with them are similar to this guy in that people, like they come across challenges like people just think I'm gay. They don't, I'm bi, I like men and women. And it's possible for a man and possible for a woman to be attracted to both sexes and not be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, that just pisses me off.
No, I mean,
I can't imagine how the person feels.
Is I don't think anyone is 100% gay or 100% straight.
Yeah.
I feel very strongly about that. Certainly there are people who are like 90%, 95%. I think bi people are just people who are like, that breakdown is a little bit more even.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like you always do like one a little bit more than the other.
Probably.
I feel very few people are like 50% I like women, 50% I like men.
And there's always a lot of people too that want to have sex with both sexes but only want to date one specific gender.
Yeah, that goes along with the whole monogamish thing. It's like, okay, so he chose this particular woman to get married to. Maybe this is the person he feels like he's going to have the best life with if he's choosing a monogamous lifestyle. But I mean, this maybe falls into category not so much of like, do I like men or women, but maybe I'm just really shouldn't be in a monogamous relationship.
Yeah. I mean, if I were his wife and this came as a surprise to me and that's how I discovered it after being married for 9 years, I'd be like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
So I understand her being shocked
and
upset because it's better to be honest even though it's scary to be
honest. It's a little you feel deceived is the problem. I mean, I don't think it's so much that
you weren't honest with me about what you desire.
Yeah, I wouldn't care if my boyfriend liked dicks.
Yeah.
But I would need to know that he liked dicks up front.
Yeah, you just want it all on the table. But kudos to you for getting that off your chest and being honest.
And I always feel bad because people are like, oh my God, how could you do that to a woman? How could you, you know that you had these gay feelings or bisexual feelings or feelings towards men and not tell her? But it's like, sometimes we have trouble coming to terms with things about ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that makes me sad that, you know, for all that time, someone is living.
That you felt like you were living a lie.
And not satisfying all these parts of their personality, you know, their sexual personality kind of a thing.
Yeah, totes.
Yeah. I feel just like, you know, if you feel something, try it out. It's 2014. I mean, whatever.
That's the tagline, everything. Yeah. Hey, it's 2014.
It really is. It's just
get over it.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? I just get so pissed off. Like, I just still can't believe, and I felt this way since I was a baby practically, that I just have no tolerance for people who are anti-gay or anti, I don't know, the racist.
You came out of the womb
homophobic.
And you're just like, I hate homophobes.
No, I do. Like, it's always
my name's Christina
me.
Hutchinson.
My name's Christina. I hate two things. I'm entering pre-K and I hate homophobes and racists. So fuck you guys and everything you stand for because you fucking suck.
Lunches without pudding and homophobes.
No, but I remember when I found out that people were racist and people were homophobic, I was like, what the fuck?
Well, because when you're a child, how those concepts that? Don't exist.
Yeah, but it just still blows my mind. It blows my fucking mind.
It blows your mind?
It does.
It blow my
really
mind.
Blows my mind that people are still racist and homophobic.
Yeah.
It always has. Always since I was
well,
a kid.
Well, it blows me that people like
I can't get my
still
head around
are, yeah.
it. And it's like we're going to be looking back however many fucking years, maybe in our lifetime, maybe not. And everyone's going to be totally cool with everybody else. And it's like, see, why couldn't we have done that in the beginning?
Well, I mean,
assholes?
No one will ever be cool. Then like Martians will come down and then we'll be like, we fucking hate Martians. Like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we hate green people.
Yeah.
Fuck green
yeah. It's just
going to
expand into a different form of hatred. Like we'll be like, oh, remember when black people and white people didn't get along? And then we'll get along. But then we'll be like, we hate purple people, get your fucking purple asses out of our homes.
Corinne, why do people need to hate other people?
Well, I mean, I feel like if everyone liked each other, it would kind of be boring.
Oh, but it's so...
I could do without the killing each other, though.
Oh, yeah, that'd be sweet.
Just like go in a different room.
Okay, so we're going to bring on our guests.
Yeah, we have two excellent guests on today.
Let's talk to them when they get here. Okay. Well, when they're here, we'll introduce them and
talk about
what they do and who they do and where they do it. All right, we'll be back. Sorry about that.
Why are you coming home 5 in the morning? Something's going on. Can I smell your dick? Don't play me like a fool, cause that ain't cool. So what you need to do is let me smell your dick. Why are you coming home?
And we are here with our lovely guests. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. So can we introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
So my name is Lady Zombie. I am a New York City-based entertainer extraordinaire, which includes I'm a singer, I am a lyricist, I am a writer, a model, an actor. I produce, host, and MC a variety of goth, rock, and S&M events throughout the tri-state area.
Sweet.
And I'm also a professional dominatrix.
Sweet. So we gonna have some questions for you.
Obviously, you know where we'll be honing in, kind of.
And you, sir.
And I'm Jay Nog, and I'm a gimp, professional gimp. No, I'm a comedian, and I'm not. She had a huge resume. I'm very intimidated right now.
Like, you're just a comic.
Dick joke extraordinaire.
Long walks on the beach.
Yeah, I don't know, hosting, writing,
you're
all
a
that
mensch.
Good shit.
I'll give you that credit.
Well, I'm a nice guy. What do you want?
Jay is really a mensch. He wrote my parents a thank you note, and I was like, can we date? Because I love you.
Oh, that's very
but
sweet.
Then he already has a girlfriend.
Her dad got me, hooked it up and got a gift for my father that I was looking for. And so
a collectible.
I got them baseball cards.
A baseball card. He got a Sandy Koufax rookie, and my dad likes the Brooklyn Dodgers, and I wrote a thank you card because he got
I'll know what none of those words mean.
This is the only cool thing that I can offer to men is that my dad owns a baseball card store. So that's cool. All I got. That's my game.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm a pussy.
It's a good angle. At least we got our pussy. Lady Zombie,
how did
you get started in the being an entertainer extraordinaire? Specifically dominatrix, because I have so many questions
about
that.
Yeah, since this is a sex-focused podcast.
I'll go straight to it. In high school, I was totally already deeply embedded in the subculture. So I was attending events secretly and what have you, as teenagers
kink
tend
events?
To do. I was attending kink events.
Nice.
I was attending vampire themed events.
Did you grow up in New York City?
I sure did.
Okay.
Born and raised concrete jungle. So
okay.
Lucky to have always been exposed to so many interesting people and events and everything. So
right.
I've never really lacked for
culture.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you've seen it all.
I have.
Are your parents cool with, do they know you're a dominatrix?
Yeah, actually. My mom is totally supportive. She's my living parent. And when my father was alive, he thought it was hysterical.
oh, lady zombie, that's adorable.
He goes, you should be careful what you post on YouTube, dear. And I'm like, I get it. I understand what I'm up to. My mother's totally supportive. She's a trip, actually. She's an NYPD SVU detective.
Oh,
shut the fuck up.
I've always been surrounded by handcuffs.
That's so interesting.
You have an interesting family. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, I got a lot of
questions. When did your uncle come into the picture?
My uncle, which, who do you mean?
No, is that a joke? Is that a shit?
I actually have like so many relatives that are so supportive. They attend these weird events that I do and everything.
That's
so
very supportive.
That's why I'm like, which uncle? Do you know him? Because yeah, meant, like, some of them uncle do actually touchy. Show up. Okay.
Well, yeah, no, but I think it's
you were
like
trying to make a stereotypical.
I was just being a dick, guys. You know, someone's got to do it.
And then, of course, I can come back with that and say, well, actually, but. I remember very distinctly being 15 or 16 years old, and I was always friends with an older crowd and always very mature, so they didn't have any issue bringing me in. And this was also an era where they weren't carding and scanning and things like that. So it was a lot easier to kind of weasel in when you were still too young, really.
Yeah, like
to
having
be there.
A sip of beer wasn't the end of the world.
It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. But that was New York City of back in the day when things were still really fucking interesting.
Yeah. So tell you were never, no one ever shielded you from seeing anything. You just saw it all.
I was overexposed from a young age, but it didn't have any kind of detrimental effect. In fact, I fell in love with everything about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you could appreciate it for what it is instead of going, ew, what's that? Oh my God.
I remember walking into a club. It was called Flesh Theater, run by someone named Master Stilo, who moved out to Vegas.
Sounds delightful.
It was delightful. It doesn't exist
Flesh
anymore.
Flesh Theater. What happened there?
I basically walked in. It was my very first time at a kink event, not just a goth event or something like that.
Yeah.
And I walked in the room, and right in the middle of the room was a man on a St. Andrew's cross. That's the big X-shaped bondage cross. Ooh. And his body was flush with the cross. His arms and legs were spread. He was butt naked.
Nice.
And everyone who was walking by, he was just a plaything, like an inanimate object for the event. So I just walked on by and smacked him in the ass, which is not really kosher to do randomly without asking for permission, but everyone was doing it. And that was his purpose. So that is the first thing I saw when I walked in, right in the middle of the room, surrounded by all these incredibly dressed people engaging in all kinds of things. Just this naked ass, and I went right for it, and I was thrilled. It was fantastic.
You were like mind magnet.
Yes,
that's
great.
Very
freeing, and it's not even so much like I've only been to one S&M event, but like when you go, like I didn't really feel weird or like I was being like overly sexual. I was just like quite curious and interested in everything around me. Like I've told this story before. Like there was an older gentleman who was rolled up in a carpet, and
Kevin Carpet.
Kevin,
I'm Facebook friends with him.
Kevin is a friend of mine. Giorgio is another friend of mine.
Is there only one guy who does the carpet
there
gimmick
are two.
In town?
There are two.
Oh,
there's
two guys. Kevin.
Kevin's
you know
a
your
great
friend
guy.
Kevin.
I know Giorgio, him as Kev. I don't know him as Kevin Carpet.
Giorgio is another wonderful K-Dog. Human carpet. Yeah. There are a bunch of them.
I just felt so bad though. I was like, I don't want to step on you.
They live for it.
I know. Now, I don't have
did he
it
get
me.
Hard while girls were stepping on him? Does he get hard? If that's a fetish.
You can't. I'm sure he does. You can't tell because they wrap themselves in several layers of carpet to protect themselves from heels.
Yeah.
And also these people, these men are stretched out under the bar so that you have to stand on them to order your drink.
Oh, I leaned over that bar so hard.
Yeah. But they can't. Jerk off, like, do they go and jerk off to it later? Like, because if my understanding is a fetish is you engage in a fetish when you're, you know, when you're having sex, like when you're ready to, like, there's coming involved at some point or another, right?
There can be. I mean, it depends. Sometimes they never do it when they're at the party, when they're wrapped up in their carpet. What they do later on with the memory of what they experienced. A lot of the times, I think with certain fetishes, it's really more about engaging in the activity that is arousing to you. I mean, their whole thing, they're not engaging with you in a conversation. They are literally an object.
Yeah.
You know?
They want to be treated like that.
They're being objectified. Mm-hmm. And if you request it, they can bounce you. So they'll have five women carpet surfing and everyone's bouncing and it's hysterical.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that part.
They cut holes out for their face so that they can see, you know.
Okay.
And what I tend to do is I always say hello and I stick my heel right in their mouth. And that's my greeting. That's how they know I'm there.
Okay.
And then I'll hear them blow a kiss or something, and then I'll go on my merry way, and that's it. And
once he has an itch,
beautiful.
Does someone scratch?
You know the Stefan
they keep
at
their
SNL.
Arms free. Oh.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
It was a great question, Jay.
I want to go to these parties. Where can I find these parties?
There are several in the city, and there aren't any specific S&M clubs anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. And
there used to be.
Paddles closed?
Paddles is still there.
Okay.
Paddles is still
there.
Is that only Paddles, though? That's pretty much the only real one. The others are Dungeons, who rent their space to event producers, or regular bars and clubs who rent their space for the purpose of the event.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do people get screened before these events or not really?
Not, I mean,
because it's not like an orgy thing, because sometimes you get screened.
For sex parties, yeah. There's absolutely a screening process. You have to submit photos and have an interview. And all kinds of things, because you don't want any trolls.
No, I agree with that.
I agree too.
You walk into Ten Oak and see a guy on like an X cross.
Wait, do they have sex parties at Ten Oak?
No, I'm just saying they don't have that.
I like how every joke Jay makes, we're like, wait,
are you for real? I'm like, no, that's like a popular place.
That's John Merrick goes there a lot, so whatever.
We're just going to take him seriously all night.
Jay, how you doing over there, Labs McGee?
I'm learning. I mean, I've like worked with dominatrixes for the last few years, so I've asked so many questions all the time.
But I mean, like, are you like a super kingster? You seem more of like a normal, and I don't mean this in a bad way, more of like a normal average sex guy. Like, not a guy who doesn't love sex, but just a guy who likes getting on, putting it in.
Putting it in, taking it out, and then putting it back out, and putting it in again.
And then I leave it out, I twirl it, and then I put it back in.
Oh, do you do the cock flap thing that's so popular?
What? Wait, what? Yeah. What?
You've never had a partner do that? I'm
like smack you in the face with
men.
Their dick?
No, they just like, they stand in front of you, they get an erection, and all of a sudden, they're swirling their hips.
Like in kids.
Yes.
It's called the helicopter?
The helicopter. Okay, all right.
How come everyone's experienced this success?
And
me.
I love it. I like it.
I think it's
adorable.
Hysterical,
it's
but I don't.
Hilarious.
I mean, do you really want the person you're about to screw crack up? You're like, here's my erection. Flap, flap, flap. What do you do with that?
You put a scarf on them too. I think it's adorable.
I've done that. I'm like, I'm just gonna hang that there.
Yeah, I have a very strict no joking while before or near the fucking time.
I'm like that too.
I hate it,
but I love a good helicopter. I will say.
I've never heard of it. No joking around helicopter.
So it's a real thing. They're just different terms.
But
for it.
The guys that I've experienced do it to be silly. It's not a turn on.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed
all.
To be silly with right? my experiences as well. Yeah.
I want to meet the guy who wants it to be serious.
Don't you like this?
Wait, are you. So you're a comedian, Jay, but do you joke in the bedroom at all? Do you like stick your penis in your butt and like
times.
Your
eyes? I mean, I'm not a very serious dude. So like, I've definitely like,
you
joked
don't
around, but
you're but, a worrier though.
Oh yeah, I have huge anxiety. I worry like crazy all the time. But,
don't worry, Jay.
What do you worry about, Jay?
What are you worrying about right now?
My career.
Me too.
Come on, you're on Guys We Fucked. From an undisclosed location, what could be going wrong?
Undisclosed in the bunker.
I heard that you dated someone who was a sex addict or like addicted to sex and wanted to have it. Like a bunch of times a day.
To the point where I stopped drinking and drugs for like 2.5 months after dating her. Because that's
really
what she made me do.
What? Oh, wow. So you can last longer?
No. Like she made me go sober. That's how crazy dating her was.
Wow. And you fell for, I mean, you did. You wanted to do it?
It was like, I guess like it was like more of like the fun, destructive, like, we'd meet up one night a week and it would be like after shows, like whatever, or she came to shows 10, 11 o'clock, boozing till, and then it would last like hours, but it was like a binge. And she was into like coke too.
Oh,
and I'm not, like,
but she wanted you to not do drugs?
No, he quit afterwards, he went so hard that he had to take a breather. I was just like, yo, I gotta like straighten my life up because I felt like I was just.
It's too much.
It was
too much.
Just
gonna
crazy.
Bottom out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like sketchy coke. Like the first time we
like not to that good table coke
but
you
like,
put out
you know
for
what,
your grandma.
Some, like some people, no, okay,
grandma,
right.
That's me, not the coke that was designated for you.
Right,
it's not the holiday coke.
I know that sounded so
grandma,
like
you slut.
I'm a drug addict, but like there are times where you go to a party and everyone's just like having fun versus that person who keeps in their pocket alone and is like, I'm not letting anyone know I'm doing coke. I'm doing it
right.
by myself.
They wanted to,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, she was that kind of person.
And let me say, if anyone knows how to have fun in a group setting, it's Jay Nog.
You got an example of something up your sleeve?
When I hanging out one night like at the stand.
What'd
I was
you
just
do?
Like standing there.
Out?
I was like, was like, all right, did I like put my time in for hanging out?
And she asked me to hang out. And then like, you know, I'm not like a big hanger outer either.
Yeah. Hanger and then I'm like 40 minutes. We're good. Right. Like I can leave now. My face is here enough. Yeah. Like, okay, cool.
Everyone knows you. You've booked a Comedy Central special.
How long did you date the girl who wanted to have sex like five times a day?
It was too long. I'd say
like 2 days.
Or no, like
a year.
I'd say like solid 4 months, and then like there was a like month and a half where like, I cleansed from her, and then you get that text and you're like, almost. All right, one more time, you know, one more time. Yeah. You know? But she was like, I remember one time, like it was after I stopped drinking, like we met up and she was like, I understand you're not drinking and I'm smoking weed. I'm going to like stay, I'm going to like help you out. So we go out for dinner instead of like going to a bar.
Yeah.
She has 3 glasses of wine at dinner.
That ain't
and then
helping.
She's like, I want to make a stop on the way home. She picks up a bottle of wine to the head on the way home.
Wow.
And then she got up like 3 or 4 times during the movie to do coke. We're watching a movie.
Wait, how is she helping you?
Nothing. That was the last time we hung out. And I was like, that's it. It's got to be over.
I mean, it's... Were you attracted to someone like that? Or just like you just
was she very hot? There had to be.
She was attractive. She was definitely attractive. But it was more...
There's always something good about that. It was just bad something boy, about yeah. bad girl
it was
mentality.
Just something about her being, and there's just great stories all the time.
You had debaucherous fun with her. Yeah. You did drugs and you had sex and
well, like,
those
I
were fun things.
I don't
things.
Do coke that much. Like I did it like once or twice with her. Like the first night we went out, she was like, I met her online. And she was a kindergarten teacher, too.
All the crazy
kindergarten teacher, too.
This is amazing.
And we're...
This keeps getting better and better.
What? She taught children?
The first bar. Yeah, she taught... It was
don't they
scary.
Always? And, all right, kids, we're going to learn the ABCs.
All right, kids, are you ready to fucking learn the alphabet really fast?
Get her head a fucking little lamp.
Oh, my God.
God, so
our first
I want to see
bar,
her teach.
She's like, I have a drink, and I had, like, a scotch. And then she's like, want another drink? I was like, all right. 4 drinks at the first bar. And I'm like, all right, cool. She's like, you want to go another bar? I'm like, what? Went to, like, 4 bars that night. The last bar... She was like, I have a surprise for you, like on the walk over. I'm like, nice. She's like, no, nothing sexual. I'm like, all right. She's like, put your hand out. And she puts like a fucking sack of coke in my hand.
What
and I was like,
fuck?
I'm bringing you home to mommy. You are a keeper.
Wow.
Yeah, on the first, like didn't even ask if I did coke or just put it in my hand and was like, let's roll the dice here.
Well, she looked at you and were like, this guy's done. Surely.
This guy, he seems reckless.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was just.
Now
and
you're
then
she
free. Like peer pressure me into like more sex. Like there were times where we'd have sex a couple of times and then I'd be like, all right, I'm good. And then she was like, so I'm going to suck your dick. And I'm like, all right.
But my dick is
like,
sleeping.
And then she's like, I'm like, we're going to fuck. And I'm like, well, I don't know. She's like, what, are you gay or something?
Oh, I love that line.
She's like, really? Like,
the macho
3 times
that
improve
ain't nice.
My heterosexuality to you?
That
you know? Like,
ain't nice.
Yeah.
That's
and like, she
horrible.
Pulled that shit.
But did you fall for it?
Of course, yeah.
I'm not gay. I'm not gay.
I'm like,
gay.
Oh, look at this. Not look gay. At this. I mean, there were times
you
like-
see this rock hard cock?
I swear my life. She tried to go with me like 8 or 9 times one night. I faked
God.
4 or 5 nuts. Like there are times where I was like, ugh! And then like I pulled the con, I was like, I'll throw it in the garbage. I was like, dude, I want to catch him on Breaking Bad. Like, leave me alone, you know? Like,
oh my
like,
God.
After, like,
your
you know,
dick gets
dude,
raw, I mean, right?
Like, it
weren't
was just,
you
like,
scabbed?
I couldn't even feel it.
It's
like,
sore. It gets
it was
sore.
Just, like I was, yeah, it was. It was
oh
just
man.
Bad.
Well,
I'm glad you're out of that.
Some
darkness.
Girls are like, I could come all night. I'm like, I could come like 2 times and then my fucking clit is sore and I can't handle it anymore.
I don't know. It depends for me. Sometimes I can. What about you, Lady Zomb?
Oh, well.
For short.
I've had all
it's
kinds
like,
well,
after I crush a guy's balls on my heel,
right?
Then.
I tend not to. I tend not to sleep with partners who like to be dominated.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. I like my female partners, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So I tend not to engage in sexual activities with dominant women.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll, you know, we kiss. Me and my girlfriends are all very friendly with each other, but
so is that wait.
Well, so are you bisexual?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I just was like clear.
So when you say you and your girlfriends are all friendly with each other, do you guys fuck around sexually? Like
there are instances that occur sometimes when
yeah.
we're just having a strange night. Yeah. I mean, there's really no debate about
this
it.
This is my dream, like a fun pillow fight turns into like boob touching.
It happens.
It never happens in my life.
It's a real life. All these random things you see in the movies, like I experience this shit. It's hysterical. hysterical.
You're living the dream.
Yeah, I really can't complain.
You're living every porn I watch.
It is. And so, but for the most part, like the females that I've messed around with are submissive to me, even if they're not lifestyle bottoms.
Right.
If that makes sense?
Yeah.
They love to play with me or play on stage with me or whatever. They'll do videos with me and they're all about it as long as I'm the one doing it. But my male partners, for the most part, I've never been like, hey, baby, let me. I don't know. I just like to.
They're the dominant one, the male partners?
No, not even. Oh. I just like to be on the same level with the men that I've had sex with, you know?
Okay.
So, and if anything, I might switch with my male partner. So I'm married now. So my only male partner right now is my husband. Mm-hmm. I still am allowed to have girlfriends. That's kind of just our arrangement because he doesn't have a vagina or a breast. And I like these things.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Isn't he very sweet?
Do you do three ways?
When we started dating, we did a couple.
How does that work?
We had a lot of fun. We both had like harems when we got together.
Oh, awesome.
I had all these people that I was exploring with. He had all these people he was doing his thing with. And then over time, we just got really bored of that and we really connected. So it became an exclusive thing.
And then you fell in love.
And then we fell in love. It was pretty dope.
Oh. How do you, so
it's like every Disney movie right now.
So it's probably.
Which Disney movies do you watch? I haven't seen that one.
Steven and I we actually just recently had a conversation about three ways. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we just don't know. He was like, I feel like you're not.
I think it's a lot easier to do in the beginning than it is once you've already established.
Really?
Well, they've been together for 3.5 years.
But we talked about it in the very beginning.
If you didn't do it in that first year, it might get your relationship weird.
Why? How so?
I just think that you've already set up certain boundaries with each other and there are things that you've done together. And now you introduce another person to the bedroom. Now, unless you are a crazy pussy loving girl and
like pussy.
Okay.
Your bumper sticker.
Not but, crazy pussy loving.
That's exactly how when I think of Christina.
If he's a straight man.
He's very straight. Yeah. To have to be with another girl, which I'm fine with. And I like the idea. It turns me on to see him turned on by another person.
So you like to be cuckolded?
Kind of. Yeah, kind of. But I want to be more of a three-way experience, I think.
You want to be a part of it.
I don't know. But I want something cool and fun.
Sometimes there are plenty of couples who swing or bring in third parties and they can totally do it. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And I've seen people who have been together for a while suddenly bring in someone new and it destroys whatever they had that kept them together. So just screen
that's
carefully.
What Steven is very scared
and
of.
And girls can be really crazy. They How will so? Either be more into you or more into him. And I guarantee you,
and
the more into him
like,
girls are going to be a problem.
Yeah.
They will start to try to arrange sessions that
separate.
You're not involved in,
oh, that's not
and
cool.
You'll hear about
that's
it.
Fucked
so just,
up.
And then all of a sudden there's this suspicion that was never there between you and your partner that you were totally open with.
Well, because Steven and I have such an
I mean, everyone's shady, not just girls.
Open.
Everybody can be fucked up.
Just for the record.
Totally. And that's his main concern is like, I love where we're at, and so do I.
Yeah.
But one day eventually down the road, like I can see myself being with him for a while.
Yeah.
So down the road, I really would love to introduce that just for some adventure and some fun. But he's nervous that something's gonna be weird and someone's gonna be jealous.
It's a fair thing to be concerned about.
Yeah.
I think one of two things would work best. Either it's very spontaneous, maybe with someone you know or someone you haven't known that long, that mm-hmm. it's just really a one-time thing.
It happens naturally, probably.
Something that will happen naturally or screen really carefully.
Yeah. There's a three-way app. Apparently. Have
I've
you used that?
No, I haven't.
What's
used
it called?
That. Okay. The apps happened after AIDS. I was done.
AIDS. I wish we had a sound effect that was like,
Jay is so proud of that. I wish everyone could see his face.
He is really.
I'm just sitting here just like waiting to just pounce in on shit.
Just put
bring zombie in for your threesome coach. And like she can be.
Like, oh, like I made. I want to have
clipboard.
A threesome.
Yeah.
I do coach couple sessions.
Made. Oh. I want to have a threesome.
That was bad. I do couple coaching sessions for BDSM.
Oh, really? How does that go?
So,
I feel like couples, that's a really valuable service.
I can do the kink facilitation service for couples who want to be kinky and don't know how to start or what to do.
Uh-huh.
And then I also get requests from people that will come see me in the dungeon that I rent from. And it'll be a woman who wants to dom her husband with me, right?
Yeah.
Or they both want to submit to me, or they come to the dungeon for me to like facilitate their interaction. It's very cool.
Is there an app for if you just want to suck your boyfriend's dick with another girl, but then never see her again? Because that's what I want.
There has to be.
That's what I'm interested in.
There has to be.
Bitch, get off my boyfriend.
I did something like thing. That one.
Bitch, just watch.
I showed
just
up.
Watch. Bitch, just watch.
Wow. Oh, I did something like that once, though. It was cool. I just showed up with a hot girl at my boyfriend's house. I was young. And we were like, we're going to suck your dick. And he was like, fucking A. And then we did it. And then she left. And it was awesome.
And then everyone high fives.
But we did high five.
Yes.
We did high five. I'm all about that now.
This is great.
I think high fiving after sex is hysterical.
Chest high five.
Chest bump.
I have a chest bump. No, that I might do that now.
Dude, I high five after sex a lot.
I would high five. See, that's not too funny for me because it's like it's over. So I feel like a high five is like totally appropriate.
Right. We both did really good. I really appreciate that effort. Really putting in an A+.
Oh my God.
Gold star.
What's when you first started doing the dominatrix stuff, were you nervous? Mm-mm. Or you were already so involved in that community, you totally understood. Like it was second nature. Yeah.
It was second nature. I started I was 18. I joined a foot fetish website.
Yes.
Oh.
Always talk about this.
I sell my socks internationally. My socks and shoes are all over the world. Okay. Name a country. They're
how
there.
Beautiful.
So I was thinking Romania. Making some money off my feet, and I'm not joking. Like
I'll help you.
I find that fascinating.
I train. I set up websites. I can send you to the right kind of photographers and videographers because you have to have some content.
Your feet need headshots, in order Christina. To sell.
Yeah, your feet need headshots. They do. It's real.
Well, so when you go to those parties, though,
the struggle is real.
when guys go to those parties and the girls are like, "Here's my feet. Do whatever."
Yeah.
What happens? Like, can the guy like put his dick up against your feet? What happens in the foot fetish parties?
I don't allow that for me.
So you can set those limits.
You absolutely.
Yeah.
You can make money without a dick touching your foot.
Fuck.
Wait.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. We just high fived again.
I have done hundreds of foot fetish sessions.
Uh-huh.
And never once have my feet touched a cock.
What do you do? What happens?
You're
do
they jerk the American off? They walk, dream, ladies.
They walk, really are. They walk into the room. It's different. Every client is different. They have a different idea of how it should happen. Sometimes we set up a whole role play.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they just walk in. They give me my tribute immediately upon the moment they walk in that room. I want to see that money. And then they drop to tribute? The floor. Yeah. They take
do they
off
bow to you?
my payment.
That's donation.
Money. Right, it depends. Like, so I charge anywhere from $200 to $400 an hour, depending on fetish.
Holy okay. moly!
Sweet. Yeah. Okay. So, and then what do you do?
So, just like a standard foot fetish session, the client will come into the room, we'll exchange the funds, and then they'll remove my shoes. It's all part of the
yeah.
The
they want to take off.
They take
your
off
footwear.
The shoes. They take off the socks or nylons, whatever I happen to be wearing. This is all predetermined.
Has anyone ever played Al Bundy?
No.
That's my fetish.
I've had some that look that way.
Oh my God.
I see all kinds of men, women. I've had female foot fetishes.
Oh. So, and then do they massage your feet? Or?
They massage my feet. I allow them to suck, awesome. Lift. Smell yeah. anything they want to do.
How about like
with their
putting
hands
peanut butter? How like food items on it? Have you
oh,
had that?
Splosh clients. I love
wait,
splosh.
There's a word
what
for
that word
everything.
Mean?
Splosh is a couple of things. It's either the people who love to be covered in food and like and just as a thing, yeah. or sitting in food or stepping in food. And so I have plenty of clients who bring food for me to step in so that they can clean my feet. Of
so
them.
Wait, in that episode yeah. of I Love Lucy where she's making wine with her feet, is that a
that is
splosh
a huge
episode?
Thing? That Holy is a huge huge thing. You that guys. Whole episode, and she's wearing the bloomers and everything.
Yes.
Are you kidding? I've had a lot of men say, "Can we do something like this?" And I'm like, I don't have the facility for a wine bath. I don't. I just
think
don't
New
have.
York.
I said, if you want to bring a big basin and spill wine and grapes, I'm like, sure.
What do the men, when you have foot fetish sessions, what do they say? Like, do they go, oh, yeah. Do they talk? Do they dirty talk? Do
some
they,
are very quiet.
Yeah.
Some like to be directed. So there are forced foot fetish sessions.
So they want to be dominated.
They want to be dominated. Yeah. So it could be anything. I have a specialty of stinky feet. So it's not very
what
difficult, and it was a problem growing up. Like, my feet fucking stink.
Oh, your feet smell.
I thought you just roll stink. Your feet in shit. And
no,
like-
I mean,
yeah, I'm like, these guys
no,
want your feet
no
to smell.
No, no shit on the feet. But they are so aroused by overpoweringly funky feet.
Wow.
So sometimes I'll wear socks for 2 weeks and they'll come into the room and when they
Christina's
take off my
boots,
the entire
like I can make
room just reeks of socks and or whatever, you know, and
whatever,
they,
yeah.
they love it. And they groan as soon as they smell it. Or I'll say, I'll take off my socks and shove it in their mouth and say, whatever, I don't know.
Will
it
they
depends.
Will they
it
say like,
the
hey, when we have our
boy.
Session, yeah. I want to be dominated. I want you to tell me. Will they kind of set that prerequisite beforehand?
Usually Typically, I ask them in detail what they envision. What kind of styling do they like? The girl next door? Do they like the scary leather-clad vixen?
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're like, "I really don't care. You could be in like the same outfit you've worn for a week. I just want to worship your fucking feet. Oh, I don't care."
See, dominatrix. That's such a great service for people to explore kinks judgment-free.
Right.
Because I feel like when you bring those kinks to a partner, you fall for somebody and you want to introduce them.
It
there's
can be
always
scary.
It can be. It cannot go well.
I do a lot of coaching for couples that want to check out something.
Hey, listen, keep those socks on for 2 weeks, please, babe.
Why? That's weird. Why?
What?
And they wouldn't be as understanding.
Unfortunately, a lot of my clients are guys that come out of relationships where they're like, my girl hates having her feet touched.
Yeah.
And it's my thing. So I feel like I'm doing a serious community service, because if they're not getting their foot fetish on, then what are they doing?
They're not getting their sexual needs met.
They're gonna like cut off someone's foot or something and go crazy. You don't know.
If you can't
think about it. If it's psychological, right? I'm providing
humanity.
A real service. If you desire something so much, if it's a real, if it's
like
not
an animalistic,
just,
like especially can, if it's taken away from you, you don't
right.
have, you don't get to have an
if
outlet.
It, if it's something that's so important to you mm-hmm. and you really need it and you don't get it, who knows what limits you could be pushed to.
And it's so nice to have someone who's just open and understanding and willing to work with you and not judgmental.
Right. I can be compassionate. I can be shy and playful. I can be a total bitch. It depends on what
you
we
want.
Set up beforehand.
It's a true performance. Have you ever had a client that scared you, that you felt super uncomfortable, that something
like a J, no,
weird?
No.
I would love to
I
get
want
a
your socks on
J.
for 4 weeks.
Oh, those. Do you know how much money I can make off of a month pair of socks?
Oh my gosh.
What the fuck?
But they also destroy
this.
Your
this
shoes.
This has turned into a Susie Orr.
This has turned into Christina's going to be a little entrepreneur.
This is Shark Tank now.
Yeah. Wow. Have you've never had
No. Have you ever had a client that frightened you, that made you feel uncomfortable?
Oh yeah. I wasn't frightened, but I did throw someone out of a session once. I remember meeting the gentleman in the street. I would see him all the time by where I work at my day job.
Like a hobo or just a guy in the
area? Just a gentleman who owned a shoe store in Midtown.
That's an alarm.
And
I love feet so much.
Basically he
sell footwear.
He looked at me and I guess I was having a not really in disguise kind of day where it was obvious that
you
I'm
like leather stuff on.
Yeah. And he goes, are you a dominatrix? And I was like, well, yes, actually I am. And he, you know, he took my card. He contacted me a few weeks later for a session. He showed up at the dungeon with several pairs of shoes from his store that he wanted me to model for him. And then I was going to whatever pair of shoes was the winner, you know, we would have a foot fetish session.
Okay.
So he came into the dungeon. He provided me with the shoes. He stripped down a lot of clients. They just walk in and take their clothes off. And I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. You know, you're vulnerable now.
Okay.
Sometimes that's discussed, sometimes not. Anyway, so he shows up at the dungeon with these several pairs of shoes, beautiful shoes. He knew my size already and everything. And he
did he ask?
Asking or just
from
observing?
Asking.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, he's
asked,
one of those guys.
He guessed.
You're 30.
He did guess. Oh. He did guess correctly.
Wow.
You
love speed.
I actually have worked at a shoe store and you can start
you get
guessing.
Used to it.
Yeah, you can just tell. You can eyeball it.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it started off fine. I was trying on the different shoes and everything and I was dressed pretty normally. That was more of his thing. He preferred the just vanilla standard look. And when it got to the foot fetish part of the session where he was going to rub my feet and lick my feet, I allow them to go knee high. You know, they can touch my legs up to the knee. Mm-hmm. You try to go over the knee, I'll punch you in the face. I clear that with them beforehand.
Okay, yeah.
Like if you try to touch me, or maybe you want to get punched in the face, but if you try to grab my thigh, I might.
Yeah, inappropriate.
Might get
out.
You can get socked. So,
yeah.
Hmm.
Not the good kind of socked.
He lunged up.
All right.
To throw his face
into
my crotch.
Oh, no.
So I did punch him in the
a
face.
Dream? No, I'm just kidding. Not this guy.
Had he been like some beautiful, but it wasn't like that.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Anita
and
Hill.
Even then,
all
even
over
if
again.
They are beautiful, don't do that. That's not the arrangement.
Yeah,
made,
no, absolutely.
You know?
That's harassment, yeah.
Absolutely.
Say
so
please.
He lunged his face into my crotch. He should have said, "Mistress, please," and I could have been like, "No," and it could have been a whole great tease and denial thing.
Right.
But so he did that and I immediately, he had already paid. So I had him, you know, I rang the emergency bell.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, do you have some sort of like a pimp
oh, yeah,
style.
I don't. Debo comes I don't in there and do, removes you.
I don't do out calls. I exclusively rent in dungeons so that there are people on site to handle situations that can arise.
They know what could possibly happen and they're prepared.
So, you know, I rang the bell and I was like, get him the fuck out. They snap a quick picture of him, never allowed back in the space.
It's like you steal from Walmart, you know?
Now, was he?
Yes.
Did he get really angry when this happened, or did he understand that he overstepped a boundary?
He looked very flustered, but he was definitely very aggressive about it. He did not stop immediately.
Oh, that's horrifying.
So, I mean, that's, you know, potential
risks.
And do you feel like that is just kind of like a workplace hazard, or did that affect you or make you more hesitant for future sessions?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a hazard. You never really know what you're getting yourself into of in this course. Kind of business. You can screen as well as you can. You can ask for references. You can talk to previous mistresses, but you never know what kind of day someone's having.
Yeah.
And when We've they might be American feeling Psycho, a little fucking rapey, you know? He was feeling rapey, I guess, whatever.
But sometimes the mood hits you.
Yeah, you just get rapey, you know?
It's probably hot out.
He was rapey.
Oh, it's 102. I'm feeling rapey.
I'm feeling rapey.
Oh, no, it's a rapey kind of day. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
I said that to my husband. He'll be a little, like, overly aggressive one day, and I'm like, you feeling a little rapey, baby? Huh?
In the summer, I do feel a little rapier.
I think I get rapey in the summer.
Yeah, it's that everything's sweating and, like, you just want to take your clothes off.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side, has there ever been an experience when you yourself got so, like, just so aroused during a session?
There have been moments where I definitely get arousal from a session. A lot of the times, and I mean, anyone coming to a dominatrix knows that you're setting up a scene. There's a lot of role play involved, which is genuinely acting.
Yeah.
But a lot of new doms are the stripper with wit mentality. And I love strippers. I have so many friends that are. But Same. Don't be a dom if you're not a real fetishist. I feel
right, because they're two very separate things.
Think that you should, if you're doing
you want to
this,
appreciate
you
and respect
should,
that world.
You should enjoy it to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't need to want to screw your clients. In fact, that shouldn't even be the case half the time. But there have been sessions where I'm just engaged in something that is absolutely arousing. And as soon as I'm out of that dungeon, I'm home and I'm in bed with my partner. You know?
I was going to say, take that sexual frustration to your
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely, which is wonderful. But then there have also been sessions where someone is just very unappealing to me and I go home and I'm like, oh, I feel nauseous. Like, But it doesn't turn me off from the business or from exploring
because
kinks
that's
with people
what you get
at all.
And you're still doing something good for somebody else. In
I
a sense,
actually,
like,
I even if I'm really unattracted to somebody, I always leave with a great sense of, hell, fuck yeah, I did my good deed for the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And I enjoyed it and I explored
it's a
something.
Mitzvah.
And I get a
it is a mitzvah.
I get a high
kink
off
mitzvah.
Of topping, you know?
I think we have a new company name.
Well, I love that.
It's true. I mean, even kink Christina mitzvah. And I, we went to a haunted house together last weekend. And
it
some of the
was
stuff, like,
so
it
sexual.
It was very scary. People were very like this guy like pushed me up against a wall and like was holding a fake knife to my neck.
That's hot. They that,
put
I was
a bag
so...
over your head. Kind of like it was like kind of like terror style, but we kind of liked it.
It was
and made
so,
you walk.
I like, was aroused.
Christina and I were both
greatly.
Like, every room we're like, we really like that.
One guy, I went into one of the rooms early and this guy pushed me against the wall and then like put his hand against like my head, but against the wall. And he was like, you're not allowed in here. I'm like, oh yeah? Then what are you going to do to me? I'm like, oh, sorry. I kind of like sexually
what
harassed
What is this
him.
Haunted house? I want to go.
Oh. It was Nightmare NYC down
downtown.
My,
I was
my
so
partner
aroused.
Made all the fangs for them when they did their vampire.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Yeah. That's good.
That the guy, who, so the guy who organizes that is a really great talent.
Oh, it nice. Was so fun. Yeah.
Jay, are you dominant in bed? Do you have one way or the other?
Or you go depends. Both. Yeah, it depends on the mood, how angry I am that day. You know,
how many episodes really, of Breaking Bad he's gotten through.
Well, I mean, with that girl, you know, I mean, I needed some breaks, you know, and, you know, Walter White is a good break, okay?
Don't and you, But you also break. Dated a girl who withheld sex from you?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
How was that?
She
was it chastity or was it like
it was like
I don't know
or you were being punished bad Jay
no it was just
but in a bad way
she thought like sex like every 10 days was like cool like it's fine
but was it this a tactic to make you behave or she just
I
didn't
don't
like
know
you
what it was. I don't know what it was but it was really
it wasn't working
it was just really bad and I was just
every 10 days
yeah it would be like and
it's
then,
like you're in prison
and then she would like
on the
hold
10th
like
day.
The, she's like what do you mean like you're like a nympho. You're crazy. I'm like, what do you Whoa. Mean? I'm like, I want sex like even if you give it like 2-3 times a week, I'll be cool with that.
That's still
and that's like, not even enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't understand. I'm like, no, I.
You just weren't sexually compatible, it sounds like.
It was just...
and also, yeah. We've talked about some people just aren't as sexual as others, and that doesn't mean anything's wrong with you, or that you just need to kind of find someone who flows with that.
Or she would pull some shit. Like, I remember, like, we'd be out wasted, and she'd be making out with me, but I can't wait to get home. We'd be in the cab. We get home, and she's like...
She's tired.
And I'm like, fuck, I just left. Oh,
she gets you all horned up.
I just fucking bounced in a cab. I was having fun. You know, I just ran.
I was gonna get some puss,
thinking something was gonna, you know, it was gonna be fun with me and you. And then you come home and like throw a fucking Elio's in the fucking microwave and eat pizza and fall asleep.
Very good.
Do you have her number?
You want to be a BFF?
Did you address that with her? Like, oh yeah, that was like, yeah, fucking enough, and that's a problem for me.
Yeah, it was a. It was discussed many times.
Well, I think people are very hesitant. Like, if the main problem in a relationship, if everything's going well except for the sex, I feel like people feel shitty for either ending the relationship or kind of like talking. That
I don't think they should at all.
Exactly.
And if you don't have sexual compatibility,
the main component.
Especially if you're not, if you're a young person still, it's such a huge part of your life and your well-being in general. You have to have sex that works for you. And if you have a partner and...
You're not on the same page.
Which is why I'm so pro sex worker, just the same. I feel like it's really a necessity.
Yeah.
And like, you even like as a, just like me, like I'm like a pretty normal person. I know people are laughing right now. But like
normal.
When you don't have sex, like I feel different. I get, you get cranky.
I get agitated.
Yeah. I get depressed.
Yeah. Well, there's like endorphins released, you know, when you have sex. So it's like, if you don't release those endorphins.
Yeah.
They're stuck inside.
You ever have sex after not having sex for a while and you just feel like running a couple laps around the block? You just feel like
I'm just exhausted.
You feel like Rocky and just running to the top of the stairs and throwing your arms in the air.
I did that. I had a marathon. I had a marathon once and there had been a long...
How long was a marathon?
The marathon of the sex?
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking know. It just went on forever. It was wonderful. It went on for a long time, but it was great.
It started in fall. It was spring.
Yeah, it was like hibernation, but sex. No.
Yeah, I've had like a 12-hour sex romp. I mean, we're not having sex for 12 hours.
But you're like naked the whole time alone.
It's pretty much you're just going at it regularly all day, and that's... Not literally 12 hours straight. I don't really think that's possible. Like, you take a break, you take a piss, you have a sandwich, get right back to it.
Exactly.
Something like that. But then I think as soon as it was done, I actually went for a run.
Yeah, because you feel like good. You feel on top
of
the world.
That's the last thing I can do after I have sex. Like,
girls go for a run, guys
nap.
Go for a snooze.
Well, that makes sense that a guy takes a snooze, because whatever guys do, I would do.
No, I'm usually...
Sometimes I snooze.
I'm usually the one that will fall asleep. And my husband will like, I've got energy now. And I'm like, what did you do? Suck out my soul, you know? But I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Yeah, I've run afterwards. I've done a lot of weird things after sex.
Like what? What else?
I don't know. Like,
had more sex.
I cooked a turkey once after sex.
Was the turkey inspired by the sex?
Yeah.
Wow.
I needed a good turkey.
Thanksgiving. Really long time to cook, though.
Yeah, like 12 hours.
Like, my mom would always...
You got to bake that
shit. I just had to make roast chicken.
It was November. I had a turkey, and I cooked a turkey after sex.
You just had a turkey lying around in your refrigerator?
I had a turkey that I was thawing that wasn't supposed to be cooked for, like... And I just... But I worked on it.
Now I want turkey.
It was weird. It was weird. Weird
things. You baked
the
turkey after fucking...
Yeah.
I baked chicken nuggets after fucking one time.
Chicken nuggets. That's what, right. A 12, knight in shining armor.
Boom, in the no fucking turkey.
For the girl
hours.
Or just for yourself?
Myself.
No, fuck you.
He's like, fuck
turkey. I was
turkey.
Like, hey, you want chicken nuggets?
And no, you have a
chicken nuggets for everyone.
You have a girlfriend, Jay, right?
Yeah. I'm,
how's that going?
It's good. She's a lovely, lovely woman. She's
awesome. How long have you been dating?
Jay's like, please don't ask me any questions.
I've gotten in trouble on podcast saying too much, so I'm just being careful.
Okay.
No, she's great. I love her. She's awesome. Aww. She's awesome.
How long have you been together?
2 years in January.
Oh, love, fun. Love, love. That's exciting.
She's awesome.
Are you a monogamous couple?
Yeah.
Have you always been a monogamous guy?
Not my college, you know. I mean, college, like you. I mean, like,
you know, college.
College.
You know, college. You
I mean,
in
college,
pussy.
You dated people and stuff, but I was just such a dick in college. So I just,
you
I
were?
Was never, yeah.
How so?
I mean, I was just
like a bro.
like, I'm not friends really anyone who I went to school with who I met in college, because like
they're still in that world.
It's just like I party with them, and that was my relationship with them, with partying. Mm-hmm. And then after
people
like,
evolve,
I wasn't
man,
drinking,
yeah, and grow.
After going, like drinking every single night to like almost blackout drunk and all that stuff, and going out that hard. And then I started doing comedy and stuff. It's like,
yeah, you get serious, and they're just still like, but come on, bro, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
It's like you went out
like
and you go out with them, and you're like. and like you don't drink as much as like you used to, and you're like,
pussy.
What was I friends with you? You
dude, know? I know. I have some friends that from like just some friends, a few in college that are so good at drinking and partying, and I'm like, oh, that's just not in me anymore.
I'm still good at that, but it's a part of my business.
Yeah. Do you drink?
It's still
on
in
the
me.
Job?
I just don't
I do
remember
drink.
It.
Yeah. I mean, awesome. I don't drink. I don't drink in the dungeon or anything like that. But if I'm producing an event, sure, I'll drink. You know, and I host a lot of random parties that aren't necessarily kink focused, and I'll drink. So the party world is a huge part of my business.
I mean, I'll still drink. I'm talking like in college, you go out and have, you know,
benders
8, 10 drinks,
that go on for 20
and
days.
And then now it's like I go out and have three or, you know, it's like it's not to that.
Not extreme.
Point
yeah.
of like,
I think I can definitely still, yeah, I'm
that's
still
great.
Kind of extreme. Yeah. But I mean, I still get to work on time.
That's awesome.
No, it's true. I get mad when people can't party hard. I'm like, go harder. Go harder. Party harder.
I don't have this. I don't have that. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, there are many things that changed and I became serious and I did get married and I have a successful daytime career and I have everything else that I do, but I definitely still party very hard.
That's great. Yeah. Do you and your husband have any, are there any jealousy issues or have there ever been?
No. I mean, we've known each other since I was 15.
Okay.
He made my first pair of fangs. I've known him forever.
Aww.
So we met literally when we were both so crazy and doing so many different things and having many partners.
So you were just already accepting of each other's lifestyles because they're
right.
similar to yours.
I mean, shit, you're
how
friends
many
with
years
somebody.
Apart? Or you're not allowed to say because it's illegal.
No, I'm not. He's
87.
He's
and she's 12.
We didn't start.
He was 20. I was 15.
No,
like
we didn't have
kind of
sex.
Shit.
We didn't have sex for the first time until it was legal by New York State standards. Right. But
how far apart are you guys in age?
Significantly.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't. I have no idea how old he is. All of his IDs
really?
Say something different. No, not really. But I don't. Oh. I don't.
I was like, yo, word? That's crazy.
He's some kind of mystical being or something
but
like that.
But
so
he's older.
He's significantly
okay.
older.
Okay.
Than me, yeah.
Cool. And he's good in bed? You guys have
he's
great
fantastic.
Sexual
we have
chemistry.
Great sex.
Do you have
I have so
kinds of
many
sex?
Funny sex stories. But our, like I told you, our sex isn't about BDSM. Our sex is like some animalistic, frightening fucking.
Like what? Like
well,
we have to wrap soon, but I definitely want to hear.
Yeah, can you, what is BDSM stand? I know the S. What is the BD?
Sadomasochism or slave and master.
Oh,
so
actually,
bondage and discipline, sadomasochism,
oh, bondage
and discipline, slave
okay.
and master, depending on the.
Got it.
So we don't, I mean, there have been times where there was one time I told you I don't ever top him in that kind of way. I don't uh-huh. walk in the room and say, lick my boots, bitch. It's just not our relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was one time where I came home and he took off his shirt and he held it out and he said, fold this. And I went, oh yeah. And it
okay.
was I was very aroused because it's just not something that we do. And I was shocked and it lent to something. So there was a control thing in play there that I found really hot.
Yeah.
But it's just not a dynamic we have.
Yeah. It's nice to switch it up like that.
It's very exciting. I love to try new things all the time.
A surprise always goes a long way. Even if I love surprises. I mean, unless they're scary, unless it just
scary is kind of hot
just
too.
It depends.
I agree. I think scary.
It depends.
Is hot.
Well, scary like
but as long as
how
I trust
scary,
the person.
Not scary. Like, are you being serious
oh,
right
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Are you being serious
no,
right
no,
now?
No.
Am I gonna die right now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Like, that's not
like
fun.
That. Not like that. Adrenaline.
Now, when you perform, do you perform? Have you ever done any nude performances?
I've done burlesque before, so I've
but you always had like nipple cover okay
because
well because I only asked because this is leading up to something that's been that I'm doing. I don't
I'm
think
so
the listeners
excited.
Know this yet but the same day as Peter Payne, don't worry, not the same time.
No, it's
long
okay.
after
I want to hear the news. I was like, what are you doing now?
I'm performing stand-up butt naked.
Are you doing the naked show?
I'm doing the naked show and the thing is like it really I thought about it for honestly 10 minutes before I said yes. And I'm still not really nervous about it.
I love naked performance
and
art.
When I tell people that I am doing this, they look at me like I just told them I am aborting my first child on stage. Like this aww. Is what they, and I understand being scared naked and it's like, I'm like, it's not like I have.
You're going
like,
to be great. You're
going
to be great.
I'm fine with it.
I was on stage naked with 125 other naked people.
Okay.
Oh, that's
in
fun.
Brooklyn for like a live art installation thing.
Cool.
We were all butt naked and we were dancing and singing and doing weird body things and we were all shapes and sizes and I was totally excited and comfortable.
Right.
It was exhilarating. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
That. I couldn't do the naked show.
I couldn't either.
Uh-uh.
I just don't. There's
what
some
is it
people
about
that
it?
Yeah. I'd be like the whole
I don't
time.
Want people to see me naked. I
yeah,
don't want
yeah, yeah.
people
Christina
has. I have a very weird relationship with my body.
Because, well, Christina said she doesn't feel like people are deserving to see her naked, which that's. I mean, it sounds cocky, but I know exactly what you mean.
The reason is because I had 34 double D's when I was in like sixth grade, and I was scrawny, and I had a Playboy bunny body when I was in middle school, and
that's
it was great, but I wasn't ready for that, and I didn't want that yet. And
it sexualized you too quickly.
I did not want that attention from older men, from other men around me, and I just got like really resentful. So I kind of have this thing where I don't want certain people to see me naked because I just don't want them thinking about it later. Not that I can fucking control. It's all out of my control.
Right.
Oh, that's not my reason. I'm just like, if that's someone, that's like the highlight of their day, see me naked, like get a hobby. Like, I'm like, it's not that exciting. Seriously.
And I wish I had that. What's the viewpoint that I want to have?
I find nudity really freeing in a lot of ways.
Nudity is beautiful. I love naked people.
I like watching people become nude. I love the undressing burlesque community.
Process?
They're undressing. Mm-hmm. I also really like to watch people get dressed.
Huh.
Yeah.
I like to watch people wash dishes and clean. Is that weird? Like, that turns me off.
You're going to be very excited to hear then that on Saturday, I vacuumed my whole apartment butt naked.
Yes. Yeah. I'm like very like, I remember being at a party once and I was watching this girl wash dishes and I was like, found it so calming and like slightly arousing. And I didn't know.
I get that.
It was like gentle.
I also anti Seinfeld.
Like, yeah, right? I like watching people like do like things like apply makeup or like put nails on. Like I find like the because I'm not super graceful or delicate, and I feel like I just love that quality in women. Even though I'm not really like lesbian yet at all, I just love that.
Yes,
there was nothing graceful and delicate about me vacuuming the carpet. I was sweaty. It was violent. It was just.
Yeah.
Sweaty and violent carpet vacuuming. I don't think it was sexy.
You could have performed like I'm not doing it.
No, the whole time I'd be like doing the drill and be like, they're looking at my penis. They're looking at my penis.
Well, no shit, they're looking at your penis.
Is there something wrong there?
No,
with your penis?
I feel like I'm more of like a grower than a shower. You know what I mean? And
totally.
I think I'd be like a little scared.
Everyone
and be like
knows.
Chilly in there.
And that's
then
a
I'd
big
be like, and then I'd just be like,
it inverts.
I would be able to be funny. I'd just be like, the whole time, I'd just be like, my penis in my head.
Well, why don't you go on stage in a G-string and see what happens?
Yeah, like
technically you're covering your penis.
I'll do the G-string. I'll host the G-string show.
We're training for me to get to the naked show.
I would do the naked show if I could be my underwear.
I think a lot more people would do it if you could be your underwear. Because it's the thing.
I respect the fact everyone's completely naked.
It's the seeing the actual like areolas, the nipples, and the vagina.
The portions.
Gonna be weird. I've been looking at myself.
I've done it. Not stand up. I'm not funny in that way. But I would crack up to just be naked on stage. They do a naked storytelling thing at some venue in the city, which is great. And
I think I've
just
heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, I forget what it's called exactly, but women just get on stage and there's always a theme. So there's certain kinds of books they read and they get on stage and naked and they read and everyone just drinks and
what's the address?
Kind of stares at them. I think it's at Madame X.
Oh, nice. So we have to wrap up, but I want to know, where can we find you guys online? So Jay, what's your Twitter? We've got a website. What's the
Jay wants to promote this big hot show.
It's at Jay Nogg on Twitter and jnogg.com.
N-O-G-G?
N-O-G.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put it on their website, N-O-G.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can catch us three. And if you're free that night, you should come down and hang out.
Maybe get whipped.
Yeah. Pater Payne and New York Comedy Club, October 17th.
Yeah, just to clear it up for the listeners, Jay Nogg hosts a show called Pater Payne. Lady Zombie will be there. Basically, stand-up comedians get on stage. They perform for the audience, and then the audience decides whether they get paid or whether they get pain, which is some treat that Lady Zombie will have whipped up for us. I did the show at Foxwoods. It's totally fun, especially because I got paid.
Yeah. now you're coming on for some sex therapy.
Yeah, and I'm going to give some sex therapy to people on the show.
AdamandEve.com sponsors.
And what's the venue?
Sex toy giveaways.
New York Comedy Club.
Yeah. Okay, New York Comedy Club. And the date is the
October 17th.
October 17th at 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
Correct?
Awesome. Yeah.
And we'll put the ticket links. Yeah. And then later that day is the Naked Show at the Creek in the Cave.
At midnight, right?
At midnight in Long Island City. Hosted by Caitlin Bailey.
So it's like a warm-up set.
Gonna be butt naked.
And Lady Zombie, where can we find you online? Website, Twitter?
LadyZombie.com, at Lady Zombie. I'm on Instagram, LadyZombie666. I'm on YouTube. I'm everywhere. Google Lady Zombie. You will find me, and I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, awesome. Your website's great. Christine and I had a real fun time looking around. We were like, we're so
what
excited.
What kind of services? Well, thank you both so much for
thank
that.
You.
This is I love episodes where I learn a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
So it's totally fun. Thank you so much for listening to Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Well, it's the youth.
you.